I'm with Colonel Sajjad Ali Zaheer, a veteran of the Bangladeshi War of Independence, of which 50th anniversary we are celebrating today. Colonel Sajjad Ali Zaheer has been awarded Bangladesh's highest military honor, the Bir Pratik, which is equivalent of India's Veer Chakra, as well as India's Padma Shri. He was part of the Mukti Bahini, which fought for Bangladesh's independence and was witness firsthand to the massacres, to the genocide that was committed by the Pakistan Army. Colonel Sajjad, welcome to the print.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me to speak on this August occasion. Thank you.
So Colonel Sajjad, today, March 25, is a big day in the history of Bangladesh, because it was on this day that General Tikka Khan, at the time the governor of East Pakistan, unleashed Operation Searchlight, and Bangladesh descended into one of the darkest chapters of its history. And thousands of people were killed, a genocide was unleashed on the country, women were raped, and villages were burnt across the country. Where were you at the time? And tell us about your own experience.
I was a good Pakistani soldier, doing very well professionally. It was a unique opportunity for a Bengali to get a post in Pakistan Army. We are largely marginalized, but I managed to do very well in the training, get a commission in the Pakistan's Elite 14 Para Brigade. I was a happy young man, very good career ahead. You know, I knew that I have to be with them to go up in life. So started learning Urdu, speaking in Urdu, and tried to be one of them. But the clarion call given by Bangabandhu Sheikh Mujibur Rahman on the 7th of March, directing that if you are attacked, resist them with all your might. That put me into thinking. And after the massacre which you referred to on the 25th of March 1971, when the animals in human form attacked my people, in front of me came the tragedy of Hamlet. To be or not to be, to do or not to do. I decided to leave a nice career, comfortable life, with 20 rupees in my pocket, with a boot and a shirt and a pant, I started my long journey.
But where were you at the time? When March 25, when the genocide took place in Bangladesh, or at the time East Pakistan, where were you physically at the time?
In fact, when the war started, I was finishing my training, then I was posted to Sialkot. Mm-hmm. It's a very long story. From Sialkot, I tried to escape at one time, but I was apprehended. But I was lucky, I was apprehended 4.5 kilometers away from the border. They did a lot of interrogation on me, but I didn't give out any secret. I thought they had suspected me anyway. So I was moved to another garrison in Shakargarh. You must be knowing about Shakargarh, where great tank battle was fought. The Shakargarh is little far away, on the way to Kashmir. There I had the opportunity. I walked towards Kashmir and then crossed over the Indian border and came to India, and then a long journey after that to Bangladesh. On the way, there were many hazards. As you know, Kashmir is a very dangerous place at that time. Now it's a little better. I was apprehended by Central Reserve Police as a Pakistani spy because they saw my Pakistani ID card. So anyway, later on I received good medical treatment and I was sent off to Mujibnagar. With the help of the Indian Army, I arrived there and I was sent to fight in the Sylhet sector, you correctly say, because I knew how to fight better in the hilly areas. Well-trained. Sylhet is a hilly area. So I became first a guerrilla commander. And then with the help of the Indian Army, we raised a small artillery battery. And I was an officer in that battery, leading Mukti Bahini boys. And when the Indian Army got mobilized, they were looking for a young man who knew Pakistan's tactics very well, who was a master of map reading and night navigation, who could navigate them through the hills and mountains and rivers and canals. So I was attached to them. I had the great advantage of fighting with a number of Indian brigades and battalions.
Right.
And I have a very fond memory of those operations and very tragic memories too, which I can always explain to you.
So Colonel Sajjad, you said that when you escaped Pakistan, you brought battle plans with you. Tell us more about it.
Well, Pakistan Army is always training itself, and you always train for the war. Most of the trainings we are doing in the border areas of with India, where the battles will be fought. I had entire information on their likely deployments, anti-tank ditches, minefields, ammunition dumps, helicopter landing paths, and their offensive plans also. It was not very difficult being one of them. I had access to their command post also at times. I didn't waste my time. I had the desire that when I go to India, this the government and the people and the defense force of India are helping us so much, and I should repay something back. But then, as you said very correctly, I have received a battle honor of 71. I have received the highest civil honor of Pakistan, of Bangladesh, Independence Medal, and also Padma Shri. But I don't also forget that Pakistan also gave me a very high award for taking away their battle plans and secrets. They awarded me with a death sentence to be hanged by the neck after being captured. I still have that death sentence valid till now, and I am very proud of that. For the cause of my country, enemy has given me a highest award of death sentence.
So once you come back to Bangladesh and you come back to Sylhet, explain to us or describe to us the situation there and what the Mukti Bahini did to fight for its country.
It was a very difficult time, the most difficult time of our lives. We are fighting a very poor man's war. Indians were really helping us very much. Whenever we required ammunition, they gave us, arms they gave us. Even I used to go to the Indian camps and ask for some instructors to come with me to join my young muktis. They used to send me. Fabulous. And I was young. I didn't know many things about the higher echelons of war. Their officers also guided me. But we had to fight it out inside Bangladesh. Hardly any clothes to wear, hardly any food. It was a poor man's war. But we are very confident. Every villager was my brother or my father. Every woman in the village was my mother and my sister. We didn't have to have any logistics. No supply route was required. Every food the villagers is to send to our bunkers even, with small children to carry our food. When you are wounded, my mothers in the villages have treated me. Yeah. When we are dead, they carried our dead bodies and buried them. So, I think we fought a war together. That was very important, and that was the reason of success. That when you fight together, when the people are all with you, your morale goes sky high, and you can take more risk in your life. And the difference between death and life becomes so small, only a thin red line. It was a very great experience to fight the war. I am very privileged to be one of the people from one of the persons with the villagers, with the common people, to fight the war and lead the most devoted, dedicated young Mukti Bahini boys, hardly 16, 17, 18. And I've read many Indian commanders giving so much appreciation to these boys.
Right.
Flushed with patriotism, ready to die, because they don't know warfare so much. But they had learned to die. And they would take any orders on any risk. And that's the glamour of 71.
But, you know, in a sense, what the way you're describing this is that Bangladeshi soldiers like yourself and the Indian Army fought this war together. And that just proves what the Pakistanis say, which is that it was India that helped break up Pakistan. Do you think that's correct? Or was it Bangladesh or people like you, Bangladeshis in the forefront and India at the back supporting you?
Well, Pakistanis can't say anything.
That's a bit
93,000 soldiers surrendered. Would you believe Dhaka has 25,672 soldiers inside Dhaka with tanks and artillery regiments and 7-8 generals sitting? They surrendered without a fight. Now you have to blame somebody. Who broke Pakistan? And who made Pakistan? It's the people of Bengal who made Pakistan. But what we find is that in 23 years, Jinnah's Pakistan became a kabarstan for us, a graveyard for us, kabarstan, Pakistan. And not only that, Jinnah was a very intelligent politician, a prolific speaker, shrewd man. But what he did, a great mistake. He tried to follow the path of history, but forgot about geography. Totally, it's his mistake. How can a country with 1,200 kilometers apart be together? And they say religion was the only unifying factor. Then all the Muslims would become Arab countries. That's it, religion, the faith. And they wanted to ignite people with religious, josh and make them into terrorists. But we must understand something. We have to understand Pakistan. Living with them, I did understand them. Habib Jalabi, the poet of Balochistan, once wrote, "Balochistan is a zinda kabarstan." That's true. Balochistan people are asking for equal rights. They say they are the largest province, their mineral resources. Pakistani military junta say it will not give you equal rights. They put same Tikka Khan and lakhs of soldiers into Balochistan. They massacred them.
So let me ask you about Operation Searchlight. This is when you were still in the Pakistan Army, but
yes,
it was conducted in Dhaka and across Bangladesh when, like I said earlier, General Tikka Khan, at the time the governor of East Pakistan, sort of unleashed this massacre. Tell us what you heard from your compatriots at the time in 1971. And today, how do people remember what happened then?
Operation Searchlight is a unique document, a coded document. I knew about the document when I was in Pakistan. I will give you some statements about the document. When the Operation Searchlight started, the same morning, 26th morning at 6 o'clock, Tikka Khan comes out of his command post and says, "Dhaka has no people. Only few stray dogs are alive walking in the streets. Bobby has used everything in his hand." Bobby was Dhaka's brigade commander, Brigadier Jahangir Marbab, who for killing Bengalis got a promotion to a rank of a lieutenant general later on and was given the second highest gallantry award, equivalent to a Mahavir Chakra. In the same evening, Yahya Khan gives a statement, "I will kill 3 million of them. And rest will eat from my palm, their beggars." And Niazi Khan takes over after 1 month the command from Tikka Khan and says, "Yeh kaun kam hai sabak sikhaunga, uska naksha mai badal denga. That is all a part of Operation Searchlight. Operation Searchlight, it says, the surrender the Bengali soldier. There was no surrender, my dear. Everybody was killed. They said, arrest the communists, the Awami League, Mujib followers, and student leaders. There was nothing of that. Everybody was killed. Why are you ashamed to tell Pakistan a genocidal nation? Because they did genocide time and again.
I think Pakistan is still coming to terms with its history. It's been 50 years. It's taking a long time for them to heal the wounds of the fact that their country was broken up and that a new country, your country, was created.
They are not coming to any terms. They kept on doing genocide and terrorism. Let me tell you the tragedy of Bangladesh, which I am making a lot of documentaries now. Do you know that when the Pakistani soldiers left Karachi airport, Karachi seaport, they are told by their Maulana Huzurs, the religious leaders, regimental Maulanas, that every man you find in Bangladesh, their names are Muslims, but they are kafirs, they are munafiks, and they are characterless. Every woman you find, they are characterless, munafik, and kafir. You are going for a jihad. So, if you kill them, no guna. If you rape them, no guna.
How do you know that?
Because the dying soldiers have given us the statement. When you captured Pakistan soldiers wounded, they have told us this fact before they died. And your Indian soldiers are witness. They have seen the women in the camps, in the garrisons. They have seen the women in the bunkers, dead women. I will give you a small story. On the 6th of December, your Fort Guard regiment attacks Pakistan's command post of 14th Division across Pagalini River near Brahman Barrier. They go inside. When they approach their command post, short of that, they find six Indian soldiers from Bihar regiment. I think it was 10 Bihar. Everybody, hands tight, eyes blindfolded, shot on the head. Then they entered near the command post. They find 66 Mukti boys. They know Mukti boys. Tied their hands, blindfolded, shot on the head. I always say, they fought together, India and Bangladesh, and died together. This is humanity. Your soldiers are witness. Talk to them. They are talking to us. They are writing it down. Have no defense for Pakistanis because they cannot defend.
Are they writing it down? Are you writing it down? Tell me a little bit about what you're doing today to remember what happened.
Well, madam, I go to every deep village of Bangladesh. I go to every madrasa, every small school in every village and take classes and tell and teach my children, my grandchildren, that we fought a difficult war. And we tell them, who are our friends in 71 and how many Indian soldiers sacrificed their life in what way. And I tell them how much suffering we had and our women and men suffered in 71, the common people, to make this country liberated, and they should all stand up together and make a better nation. I've written only 55 books. I only write about 71. My friends tell me, I was born on 26 March, early morning, 1971. I died on 16 December at 4:30 in the Ramna Racecourse Maidan. That's my life. I'm writing everything down. I am also working for the War Crime Tribunal. We couldn't try Pakistani perpetrators, the genocides committed, the people who committed genocide, because they are allowed to go to Pakistan. Bhutto Saab committed, he will try them, he never tried them. He all promoted them, gave them big honors and awards, we all aware of that. But the local collaborators, at least we are trying them. And we are coming to know about their stories. They are giving their stories to us.
So the duration of the war you spent in Sylhet with the Mukti Bahini, is that correct?
Yes, Sylhet is a very large district and now it's divided into number of districts. So most of the time I was with them and also with the Indian brigades and battalions also who were advancing.
So finally, when the Pakistan army surrendered to the Indian army, and that was of course a big day of celebration for your country as well as for India. Describe to us, if you can, the scene, if you remember what happened that day.
It was a mixed feeling, actually. Initially, it was all joy and glory. When we entered the villages and the towns one by one, we saw the sad people, the people coming and asking us, where is their son? Where is their grandson? Where is their daughter? Taken away Pakistanis. They have killed almost all the famous intellectuals, the teachers, the doctors, the engineers, thousands of them.
Why did they kill the intellectuals at Dhaka University?
Because they thought that it was a big master plan. They appointed a general for doing that job. His name was Rao Farman Ali. Bangabandhu Sheikh Mujib showed Bhutto and also Prime Minister Indira Gandhi a notebook, Rao Farman Ali's notebook, in which names of the intellectuals are written, the famous ones, and tick mark was given. One kill, two kill, tick mark them. It was shown. Rao Farman Ali was made the in charge. They had the plan that even if East Pakistan, which was Bangladesh, is liberated sometime, the country shouldn't be able to stand its own feet. Kill whom? All the intellectuals, the doctors, the engineer, social worker, journalists, thousands were killed. And 14th of December, we remember then, that's the intellectual martyr day. And I'm very pleased to report to you, I have been put as in charge to go to every village, every city, and finally make documentation of every one of them who have never returned home after being taken. And if you have seen their photographs, everybody with their hands and legs tied in big ditches around Dhaka. The ditches are still there. They're dead. Everybody shot, almost everybody in their heads. So after that, you don't call them a genocidal nation because they are our neighbors. Do you pardon your neighbor if your neighbor keeps on killing and raping women every day? You don't.
I think the neighbor and us have to come to terms with our bloody histories. And unless we do that, I don't think we can move forward. But I want to ask you also about August 15, 1975, when Bangabandhu Sheikh Mujibur Rahman was brutally assassinated, not just him, but his entire family in their home in the heart of Dhaka.
Well, that's the biggest tragedy. It was a coup de grace perpetrated by a number of political leaders, military leadership.
But they were Bengali. They were Bengali.
They are Bengalis.
Or Bangladeshis.
Bangladeshis. But with all the research going on now, they had many hands behind them. Many of them have been put to, they receive justice, many of them. But many of them are not in the country, they ran away.
They have been hanged.
Now, where are they? Would you believe that many of them are hiding in Pakistan secretly? If Pakistan was not a friend of theirs, why should they be hiding in Pakistan?
But would you not say, Colonel, that in 1975, when Sheikh Mujibur Rahman was assassinated, it was Bangladeshis killing Bangladeshis?
And this is barely
4 years after this war that you all fought together for a new country.
But you must remember one tragedy. Mukti Bahini was a very small force because it was the People's Army, and the People's Army went back to the villages. The defense was a very small orbit. very few officers and men. Then Pakistanis released all the thousands and thousands of soldiers and officers. And they came to Bangladesh. They are accommodated in the Bangladesh military. And they became the bigger force. And Mukti Bahini was marginalized. It is a proof of that fact. And we have the proof. And many of them were in the squad, in the firing squad. And the euphoria of the pro-Pakistani elements we saw after that, it was terrible. After these military rulers came, they rehabilitated all the collaborators of 71, the defense officers, political leaders. They stopped the trial of the collaborators. They changed everything. They changed the concept of Bangladesh. And they ran with a martial law or a semi-martial law.
So they were taking revenge for 1971.
Now, among the Mukti Bahini boys, hundreds and hundreds were killed. And the people who are officers and men who survived, they are terminated from service. The military ruler in one night gave 700 death sentences to Mukti Bahini boys also. We have proof of that. Not only that, all the collaborators who were charged for war crimes, they are made into ministers of the cabinet. Now, what happened? History is a fascinating entertainer. I always say something which I hope you'll believe. That Bongo, as you told about my father of the nation, Bangabandhu Sheikh Mujibur Rahman, he was like a flower. They have cut the flowers. But they could not keep the spring from coming. The spring has come holding the hand of his beloved daughter, Sheikh Hasina. We are now following the path of 71. Our friendship with India is a path of 71. The freedom fighters are being honored today. The collaborators are now being tried again. And she wants to do justice to 71 and to our martyrs. She has a lot of difficulty. You must understand that. But I'm sure she understands Pakistanis very well. But you are talking about Pakistan. My opinion is a little different. There is no country called Pakistan exists anymore. We have to understand that. There's a country called Pakistan after 47. Majority population, 56%, were East Pakistanis and Bangladeshis. They came out of Pakistan. So there is no Pakistan in majority cities. There's a country now which could be called as West Pakistan. Am I historically correct or wrong? There can be an argument about that.
Right.
But whatever I say is, I say because I live in 71.
Live in 71, and yes. I want to ask you the last question, Colonel Sajjad, which is, it's been 50 years, Bangladesh is celebrating its 50th anniversary of its independence, a big, big day, a glorious day, and many congratulations to you and to all your countrymen and women. But the question is, what is the lesson from 1971, and do Bangladeshis understand what happened?
I think Bangladeshis and our understanding. When you distort history for 26 years, in 26 years, two generations' opinions are formed. So you have to understand that.
Those are the years when you had a military dictatorship under General Ashad and other people.
And then, do you know how many ISI camps are set up all around the border? How many guerrillas were trained, Indians, the Ulfa and all that? How they are sponsored, how they are trained in which camps, and they're sent into India to kill your people. You must understand those things. But let me tell you one thing, very important. What this government is doing, the government is going on the path of history. We cannot do anything much for the people who have helped us in 71. But under leadership of Honorable Sheikh Hasina, she has a project honoring friends of Bangladesh. we have honored 317 great people of the world who are friends of Bangladesh. Fortunately, I was given the task of writing their citation, research, and documentation. 317, 217 are Indian citizens. Glory for them, great friends. Number two, I had a proposal for Honorable Prime Minister that we are going into history again. Historical injustice is being done. We are a free country now, a democratic country. But the people who helped us and died for us in 71, we haven't honored them. We're only honoring freedom fighters of Bangladesh. She asked a paper from me, approved the paper. Through the paper, you know, we are honoring every Indian martyr soldier. And I am receiving full cooperation from people of Bangladesh and people of India. Every night, I write their citations, their death stories, and I cry. 17 years, 18 years, 19 years, young boys from Bihar, from Uttar Pradesh, from Jharkhand, from Tamil Nadu, from Punjab. They never saw, had a family. They have no children to carry forward their legacy. They died fighting for an unknown land. And when I meet their families, when I go to their families, they hug me and cry and say, "Oh, Bangal gya, ab mar gya." It's such a tragedy. Our relationship is based on blood. Let me tell you today that the blood of Indian martyred soldier were flowing, is flowing, and will flow through Patna, Meghna, Jamuna, and Tisna. Let history say so, that we fought 71 war against a cruel enemy together and won victory together. That togetherness is very important. Togetherness, not between us only, our generation, it should flow down to next generation. I make it a point to go to Indian colleges, universities in different parts.
Right.
And online, I'm having communication with them. I want them to be friends with our children also. Let us not stop in 71. Let not the buck stop on 16 December. The generations of our two countries should become equally friendly, equally responsive, and face the world together. That's what I always believe in.
Colonel Sajjad Ali Zaheer, thank you so much for your time, for reliving those memories for us at the print. And we hope that, and once again, wish you and your country a very, very happy 50th birthday. Thank you again.
Thank you. And let's celebrate the victory together. Together, yes, is very important.
Thank you.